Do you feel like you're holding yourself back? Like there are fears that stop you being your full self? Like there is something inside of you that wants to come out, but there's another part of you that is pushing it back and suppressing it and stopping it. So there's this energy of wanting to express yourself fully and enjoy the fullness of life, and yet at the same time there's something else pushing it. Well, in this session, we're going to talk about that, what it means, what it is, and how to get rid of it. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Hello, Brother Michael.
Hello, hello.
Welcome to you too.
You know, a friend of mine died recently, and it was a bit of a shock to me. And I was thinking about this topic because he was a very fearless person, Brother Nick Good, Sir Nick the Good. And I think when people leave the body and they move on, you kind of get a better sense of what they were like and when they're alive, which is a bit of a strange thing, actually. A friend of mine was saying he knows lots of people who have died in his life, and it's only afterwards that he really got a sense of their essence. And Nick was a very fearless person, and he did things that most people would be extremely afraid of, like standing right on the edges of cliffs or getting into freezing cold water or whatever he wanted to do, extreme things in various different ways and how he lived his life. And as he passed, I was thinking, you know, in what way am I inhibiting myself? In what way am I trapped? Because I feel that there is a big pot of bubbling joy inside of us, right? Like you imagine a big pot and it has bubbling joy and it's bubbling away nicely. And that's how we're supposed to be living and enjoying our life and having a wonderful time. And then there is this lid that's been stuck on the top of this big pot. And that's all the fears, the insecurities, the neurosis, all the stuff, the traumas that are just stopping that from coming out fully. And I've reached a point in my own life where I've had enough of it because it's just not, do you know what I mean? Like, you're like, this is, I haven't come onto this planet to be suppressed by myself, do you know what I mean? Let alone by anyone else. And so that's really what we're getting into today. How do we get this lid off? Because the bubbling joy is already there anyway, and it's just being stopped.
You know, I want to say something. You sent me, I didn't know Nick Good. You sent me a book he wrote, and one of the things in the book was he was talking about the hero, and he was saying that a hero is not undefeated but undaunted, and I really like that. So you know, something like what you're saying, right? It's like you have to be so fearless. But, you know, when you were talking about extreme sports, right, like standing on the edge of cliffs or freezing cold water or stuff, I feel fearlessness manifests in many ways in our lives, right? The one person I knew who was totally fearless was Dadi Janki. And it wouldn't just cross her mind to go stand at the edge of a cliff or fall off, you know, do any of those things, but she was totally courageous and fearless. And so I feel we should acknowledge that there are different aspects of fearlessness.
Absolutely, yeah. Nick wasn't just fearless in that way. He was fearless in other ways. But it's just like when you see it physically, it's a bit easier to witness. But I totally agree. Fearlessness is mostly about where, like, there's, my experience of this is that there's energy coming through us to share and enjoy life and connect and, you know, become the highest version of ourselves. And then there's this internal resistance that suppresses it as it's coming through. And fearlessness really is not letting that suppressive energy that's saying, no, don't do this, it's too dangerous, or, you know, you shouldn't, what will people think, blah, blah, blah. Oh. That might come up, but you're not letting it stop it coming through. And Dadi Janki is somebody who I'm sure she probably had some of that in her head somewhere at some point, and she just had none of it. She just refused to let it get the better of her and continuously did courageous things again and again and again for years and years and years. So it's like, are we letting these doubts, these fears, these voices, these feelings rule our life, because if we are, then we're not able to enjoy our lives. You know, it's like there's like two parts of us. One wants to express and the other one is trying to suppress. And to the degree to which the suppressing side is getting the better of us, that we're just going to be like a hollow version of ourselves, all kind of like, you know, twisted up and not able to just experience the joy of life. And I think there comes a point where we just have had enough of it, frankly.
Right.
You know, what's your experience with this? You're a fearless soul, aren't you, Shireen? I see you do all sorts of crazy stuff. Shireen doesn't seem to have any problem with Shireen's tolerance level, in my opinion, is just be off the charts. Do you know what I mean? Like some of the stuff she's gone through. With,
thank you for the blessing.
No, it's true though. It's true. Like
thank you
know,
for
like
the blessing.
I'm such a in many ways. I need to get enough sleep, and I need to have this, and I need to have this, and this, and this. And Shireen's just like get up really early, do all this stuff, work all the time, get all these things done, just like hardcore. You know. So how do you do it?
Thank you for the blessing. Thank you for the blessing. Actually, I had to deal with fear a lot, right? Different aspects of fear. And depending on what was going on in life, like one time when I first came to the United States, because the first time really I was on my own, and I really feel like in all my lives, right, I was born into, you know, like privilege and wealth and things were taken care of, right? I feel not just in this life, right? All my lives that was the case. And when I came to this country, I didn't have any money and I really had to make it on my own because I was determined I wasn't going to go back because my parents were ready for me to come back and get married and all of that stuff, right? We won't go into that story. And I wasn't going to do that. I needed to make it on my own. And so that time, the fear was different, you know, different kinds of fear that time. And then I rarely had fear of people, right? I mean, like, as a female, sometimes you do feel a little, you know, there was this one time I was about to be mugged. And I ran inside, you know, it was around our old center and I ran inside and I could feel my heart racing and all of that. And I wondered if that was fear or just adrenal at that point. But then there was this fear when I had cancer, it was different. It was fear of, not fear of death, because by then I looked at death a couple of times. And so I wasn't afraid of death. But I was afraid of just being sick and that chemo and the radiation and all of that. That's something that I was just so fearful of. I had to work through that, right? I just had to walk through that. And also many times internally, there were many things on a spiritual path, right? There are many things that come up, like your own demons, your own shadow, and your own thing, it comes up, right? And I always used to tell myself, you know, I have to walk through this valley. And I have to walk through this valley with God. And many times I feel he was my companion. And there was no fear. It's not that I wasn't fearful, but it was manageable because I felt his companionship.
Yeah.
How about you?
Yeah, well, fear is a powerful force. It really is.
I mean, without going into details, can I say something about you? I won't go into details. I will not put you on the spot. Yeah.
So it's the latest and greatest.
When I met you, there was a lot of different aspects of fear going on.
That's true.
And now it's not like that. It's not like that. You're so undaunted. And so you actually have really come through. I've seen you come through.
Right. Well, I appreciate the blessings. There's just a time and a place to to realize that everything is basically perfect, really. That's to me, that's kind of the... There's a greater game happening here, which I don't understand in all its details, but I trust that it is a greater game going on. And also, going into the infinite, secure space beyond this world, I feel is absolutely critical, because I'm not sure it's really possible not to have any fear without having some backup, if you like, or some security underneath everything. And what I'm feeling these days is that contemplating death is the best way to overcome fear. You know, I literally, so mm-hmm. I've been actually spending time, I'm planning on doing, you know, 10, 20 minutes a day of this practice, but basically to imagine that I physically, this body dies, right? And it's like, all right, there it is. It's now this floppy thing stiff on the ground somewhere, and it doesn't do anything. And so that means that I lose the body, right? That's a major loss. I lose all the possessions related to the body, all the relationships related to the body, money, success, whatever, like, or everything. You just think, go through the whole list, and it's like, all right, well, the relationships, that reason I didn't say that first way is because they don't really end, but they definitely end, but we have an eternal connection. So on some other level, they don't actually end because they're eternal. But all the physical stuff is all finished completely. And all the problems that are going on in life are also finished, which is kind of in some ways a relief, actually. It's like, I haven't got anything to worry about. All the stuff I was stressing out about, I don't have to think about it anymore. So just to really imagine that. And then there's a Buddhist practice that the Buddhists do where they say, imagine the dead body, the corpse, right? And then, so first of all, it goes cold and stiff, right? If you've seen a corpse, that's mm-hmm. what happens. And then it goes blue, right? And then it starts, mm-hmm. and then all the organs start decaying, and it's like flesh hanging to the bones, right? That's right. The next stage. And then all the flesh disappears, and it's just the skeleton. And then mm-hmm. after that, the skeleton disappears, and it's just dust, right? Mm-hmm. And they say, just go through it step by step, each of these stages for a few minutes. So you kind of go through the process where you have this body now, and you gradually realize that it turns into dust, and then the dust gets washed away, and there's not even dust left. So who are we then, right? If there's nothing left, but you're still here. So I'm feeling like with that consciousness, seeing the whole thing from that space, that there's just this dust, really. And there's not, if that's ultimately where it's going, then it's not really here now either. It's just very, very temporary. And then absolutely. And then I'm like, well, ultimately there's all dust, but here we are at this particular moment, and it's great to be alive, you know. So then instead of thinking, what about this going wrong and I'm worried about this, I'm like, well, I'm just grateful to have the opportunity to just be here. Do you know what I mean? This is great, you know. And like, here we are, we got an opportunity to have a chat, and we got this podcast, and we got, you know, we can enjoy, we can laugh and talk to people. So like, it just cleans that whole junk out, and it's just like, no. And I'm getting to feel people who say, like, live each day as if it's your last. I think it's a really, really, really solid way of living, actually, because it could be our last day, couldn't it? I mean, we just don't know.
It could be. You don't know. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, one of the things I mean, there's not as extensive as yours, but one small way that I feel I've managed fear when I'm really fearful of something is, it's been a while though, knock on wood, that I've really been fearful of anything. But that fear is come to protect me, that I want to look at that energy with love, right? It's loving. It's come to protect me. And it's come to, because like the soul feels in some way that some it's going to lose something, right? Whether it's going to lose the body or lose some possession or lose a relationship or whatever it is, it's going to lose health or whatever, it's going to lose something. And so, and it's a reminder, right? That it's a reminder that when it comes, that I am really able to go back to being a soul, being light, being eternal. I remind myself. So I feel it's more like it's a messenger to tell me, hey, remember you're a soul, remember you're eternal, remember you're light. And like it's a love that's coming to push me in the right direction. Because as a soul, as eternal, I'm not going to lose anything, right? There's nothing to lose.
No.
And especially when you're in relationships or job or these small things in life, right? We need small, what your practice you're saying is a fabulous practice, and once a day we should all do that practice. But like say I'm facing my boss and I'm, you know, getting all worked up, bent out of shape, or I'm facing someone I'm always fearful of. So to go through this small exercise also helps.
Yeah, we need short and long practices, you know. Yeah, I think honestly, if we don't contemplate death in one way or the other properly, we can't live our life properly either. Without thinking about death, we can't really live. Because otherwise it's a background stress that is being suppressed. And my observation is people who are most afraid of death are also the most controlling type of people, because they're trying to, do you know what I mean? They're trying to like stop everything. But you can't. This is an unpredictable, crazy world. And that's just a fact.
It's getting more and more unpredictable.
Yeah, it's a crazy world. Strange, sudden things happen. Like my friend, he was fine. He sent me a message the day before he died. On the day he actually left the body, he sent me a message in the morning, and he left the body in the evening on the same day, saying he wanted to talk to me and how much he appreciated me and wanted to connect with me. And then I didn't even hear the message till after he'd left the body, actually. And I was like, oh my God, so I can't call him back. Because that's the end, right? So that's just like boom, all of a sudden. And we're living in an unpredictable world. The only thing we can guarantee is change. And yet here we are trying to avoid death, which is absolutely inevitable, and trying to control everything, which is completely impossible. So it's like just, I was thinking about this scientifically, right? Even if someone's not in any way spiritual, let's say you take the most atheists or materialistic type material a scientific view of life, right? And you said to them, can you explain what is the nature of this physical universe according to science? They would say, well, here we are in this world which is permanently and constantly changing all the time, and there are all these crazy forces at work going on, and everyone's 100% guaranteed to die, right? This is just a factual thing that everyone can agree with. And yet, despite that being 100% true, almost everyone is in total denial of that all day long, the whole time, trying to control the environment, trying to stop thinking about death, trying to get upset when people do die. It's like, it's really a high level of madness, actually, if you think about it. And I was taken aback that, like, even though I know this, someone dies and I'm like, oh my God, how could this happen? This is so shocking. Right? I'm like, but that's the nature of life. I mean, what do you expect? So I'm thinking, unless I contemplate death properly and deeply enough, I'm not actually able to see clearly about what is really going on.
Yeah, that's true. You know, one thing though we need to understand about fear is it's a great magician. It's the biggest magician ever, one of the biggest magicians, because it casts such an illusion on the soul, right? That something is going to be taken away from you. Right, that is the magic. It casts a spell, and you run around in a tizzy, think something is going to be taken away from me. You know, that's the fear. And if we walk through that, if we walk through that fear, right, list all of the things that are going to be taken away from you, right? The fears of whatever you think is going to be taken away from you. List all of it. And you realize one of the things I used to look at fear as is a paper tiger. A paper tiger, what I mean by a paper tiger is from distance, it looks real, right? It absolutely looks real and it looks ferocious. And the only way to find out for yourself that that's not real and not as ferocious as you think it is you go close. And so you have to really face what is it that you think is going to be taken away from you? What are you so afraid of, right? And then you walk through each of them. You can walk through, mentally walk through each of them, right? And when you're walking through each of them, just go through it in meditation. I am light, I am eternal, I am connected to the ocean of peace, I'm connected to the one divine source, whatever God, whatever you want to use, the word you want to use. And with that company, I'm going through this, right? You list down everything and then just go through it, each one. And you really feel much better. You realize what a paper tiger that was, actually.
That's great to actually look at them all, because once we face our fears, like I was talking to someone yesterday or the other day before, and she was saying to me, was talking about some fear, some specific thing. And she said, well, what's the worst case scenario? Like what exactly is the specific thing you're really worried about here? And I can't remember what it was, but you know, and then when you actually see, well, what is the worst possible thing and sit with it, then it's actually fine, really, because once we face that, then the whole fear goes away. But fear is allowed to get bigger if we're not willing to do that work.
Yeah, the other thing which is very important, which you have to distinguish the fears, right? Let's say you have fears in relationships. You know, you're going to lose a relationship or whatever. There's a fear, let's say. And you're not sure, right? You're walking through the valley, right? You're walking through the valley and you're not sure you'll be able to make it the other end without that relationship. I promise you, you will be able to make it through the other end. And you will also see the blessing in it at some point. You have to have faith that everything that you're ever going to lose, there will be a blessing in that loss. And you have to have that faith now before you walk through, right? Because if, let's say, a relationship and you're fearful of losing the relationship and you compromise a lot of things in your life because you're fearful of losing the relationship, and so, and you compromise your dignity, which is very important, right? That's like the most important thing, like your self-respect, your dignity. And so if you are doing that, so walk through it, because at the end there is a blessing. There is a blessing. And I always feel if something has to end, right? Let's say a relationship, it has to end. And you keep holding on and you're fearful it's going to end and this is going to happen and that's going to happen. If it's going to end, it's okay. Let it end, right? Just let it be. Let it be. Don't like hold on. Don't worry about it. Don't think about it. You know, all of this really stresses us out and creates even more fear.
Absolutely. A friend of mine has a great quote that I really appreciate. And he said, whatever's going to happen is going to happen anyway. So just let it happen. Because if it's going to happen anyway, if inevitably that's what the end result is, why should we put up with forcing it to try and stop it when it's just guaranteed to happen?
Yeah.
Because it's such
and
a waste of time.
When we force
you know?
It to... I don't even mind the waste of time, Michael. what I do mind is the loss of dignity. If you're forcing something to stick, and that's not what it's meant to do, you lose a lot of your dignity in the process.
Yeah, and possibly your sanity as well.
People think, oh, it's so easy. No, it's not easy. Losing dignity is a very, it's like the biggest loss. It's the biggest loss you can ever have, is losing your dignity. And that's realization we need to come to, right? Because in each aspect of our lives, fear appears differently, and each of that we need to look at it differently. Like, what is it that I need to be able to walk through this fear? What is it I need to be able to walk through this fear? What is it I need to be able to walk through this fear, right? And I feel in relationships, no fear, nothing is more important than your dignity. And so you have to come to that realization, that understanding. And then from that space, you make your decisions.
Yes, it's true. Dignity is, when I think about dignity, it's my sense of I am whole in myself, and I'm not needy, I'm not a beggar for anything. You know, it's like I'm a sovereign being, and I'm not like, oh my God, what about this, what about this? So it's definitely not in our true self fullness to be like, oh, I need this, and I'll be told to complete, you know, basket case if I don't get exactly what I want all the time, because that's not really, it's not the truth either, and it puts us in a very weak position.
Absolutely. You know, people talk about authenticity, right? I feel authenticity is nothing if you don't have dignity. Dignity is your original authenticity. That's what is your original authenticity. Not, oh, I need license to do whatever I want to do. No, because dignity doesn't come that easy, you know. People really mistake. There's a lot of false beliefs around these things.
Yeah, well, we're living in the world of falsehood, aren't we, really? And yeah, there's all kinds of ridiculous and toxic philosophies and belief systems that people talk about all the time, and a lot of people pick them up and try them out and then get seriously burned by them. So we recommend in this podcast that you think about these things for yourself and see whether or not it helps you in your life, because that's the only way you're going to know. All I can say for myself is that the more I go beyond into the infinite light and imagine being completely liberated and then come back, it's like coming back with the power. And there's two words in Sanskrit which are some of my two favorite words, actually. Mukti, which means freedom, liberation, and then Jivamukti, which means freedom whilst alive. And so these are like the highest states of consciousness. Like, if you sum up spirituality, it comes down to mukti and Jivamukti, really, don't you think, Shireen? In the essence, and like in the end,
absolutely,
that's all it is. Absolutely. That's the whole thing, right? Mukti means we're totally out of it, in the infinite light, in our home, with complete mastery and joy and bliss and freedom. That's the highest thing anyone can attain, is mukti. And then from that feeling of freedom, we incarnate back again with the power, with all the vibrations of freedom, and we have that sense of freedom in our life. And that really is the whole point of being here. So we're either having mukti, or we're having Jivamukti, or if we're not having Jivamukti, then we're having Jivanbandhan, bondage in life, where with all these neuroses and fears and vices and negativity and suppression. And so we all want Jivamukti. Most people have never even heard the word Jivamukti, but we all actually want Jivamukti, but we can't get there. You can't go from a life of bondage to a life of freedom directly. You have to go from a life of bondage to mukti, to complete spiritual freedom, and then come back into the world. It has to be like this way down. to get it. You know, you can't just jump across. And I think a lot of these self-help books and all this stuff is trying to go from bondage to freedom without actually having that spiritual awareness, and it just doesn't work. So ultimately, the only way out of fear is to come into mukti through deep meditation and remembrance. And once we've established ourselves in that consciousness deeply enough, then we can come back into this and you bring the magic from there. And there's no shortcut to it, really. That's just how it is. So now you know. That's real freedom. And I think right. The more we contemplate death, because death is like when we leave, you kind of get a sense of what it's like out of this whole thing in the infinite light. The great element of light beyond with God. Boom. So there it is. Yay. Praise the Lord.
Yay, right? That was very lovely.
Yay. Jivamukti. So now you know.
Jivamukti, even knowing absolutely. The word. Even, let's do Jivamukti.
Even knowing the word Jivamukti and Mukti is a great success just by itself, don't you think?
You know, because we all do want freedom, but we bind ourselves with expectations and all sorts of nonsense. And anyway, one of the things we were talking about a lot of self-help books, right? One of the things that people rarely talk about is Maya or illusion. And Maya in Sanskrit means illusion, but it's not physical illusion, it's a spiritual illusion. Like fear is Maya, which is a spiritual illusion. It's not physically, you're not able to see something, but you're able to experience something, you know, some kind of energy, some kind of feeling. Your experience, so that's a spiritual illusion. And Maya, I feel, in terms of fear, right? Maya comes very sneakily, right? It's arriving into your life so sneakily, sneakily, sneakily. Before you know it, you have expectations. Before you know it, you feel you want to do whatever you want to do and say, oh, then I'm free. You know, because you're not understanding the very deep karma philosophy, the very deep spiritual concepts of you being a soul, that there is, you know, a supreme soul, you know, ocean of peace, you know, backing you up like that, right? And so we need to look at some of these false beliefs that are playing in our background, these illusions that are playing in our background. What is Maya telling you, right? What is Maya telling you? You know, you were talking about you're losing your friend, right? I lost a friend of mine who I was very close to. Her name was Bibi Butler. And so I had no problem losing her, or, you know, that she passed very young. She had cancer and stuff. But you do miss them, right? Their presence, you know, you've done so many things together and you do miss them. And but one of the things I noticed at that time, right, after I've lost her, is that the Maya that was telling me what was going on, right, is I was looking at my own mortality. And I had to really come to terms with the fact that the soul will die. There will be another birth, right? It will be okay. Everything will be fine. That soul will be happy. The soul, you know, the soul needs to move on. Even though you miss them, right? You have to go through this Maya. You have to see through the Maya, and you have to be able to talk to yourself out of it.
Absolutely. Yeah, Maya is the cause of all of our problems, really. And this extremely complicated mess, frankly, isn't it, Maya? Maya's like, this is, you could say, Maya's kingdom, this whole world, the way everything is. And it's penetrated and, you know, it's suppressing and infiltrating everything all the time. So what a disaster we have on our hands right now. Good God.
It's very powerful. Yeah, so. It's very powerful. I feel the only way I can handle Maya, but especially some fears, right, which is Maya, is by being a companion of God. Really, I can't handle it on my own.
No.
Because for me, I know my limitations. So it would be really foolish for me to think, oh, I can do that on my own. I'd only be able to do it because there's God with me.
Right. I think the problem with Maya, and this is a huge topic which we've talked about in other podcasts, but the big problem with Maya is basically because Maya is an illusion and is very subtle, if we know that something is Maya, then it's probably not Maya in the sense like it's bringing consciousness to something. The real biggest problem with Maya is we can't see it at all. That's the most dangerous type of Maya, is that we actually can't see that it's Maya and we don't believe it's Maya. So that's even worse, you know. If you know something's a problem.
Yeah, we think we are fine.
Yeah, yeah. If you think, oh no, everything's fine, this is definitely, it's all good, then that's the real issue. If we're saying, I've got this problem, I'm having this attack, of spiritual attack, and I'm worried about this stuff, at least you're able to do something about it. The only way out of this whole, there's no way out of this world alive, physically, right? That's just a fact. Right. You can't get out of this alive. That is a fact. So you have to accept death is guaranteed. And the way to get out of fear is to imagine each day is actually your last, and imagine being dead. Because then you can see much more clearly what you're dealing with. You can let go of all these ridiculous attachments and worries and stress around things, and then come back into life with tremendous gratitude and appreciation and happiness just to be here, right? It just kind of cleans out so much random crap out of our head when we do that. So I recommend contemplating death every day for at least a certain amount of time in order to really appreciate being alive. And I think that clears out a lot of the fears and makes life much more fun. So hopefully that helped. And let's have our blessing.
You want to pick a number or should I?
103.
103. This is God's blessing for you. Truth. At last you have found your true self, embracing the stillness it brings. Beyond the allure of false promises, a deep inner bond awaits, one with timeless truths. You have begun your journey into divinity, unclouded by outside distractions.
Ah, so we'd love to hear your in the comments. What are you afraid of? And what are you going to do about it? What are you afraid of? And what are you going to do about it? And how would your life be better if you actually cleared it all out and just lived in freedom?
Did you want to share more? Was this too abrupt? I thought you would.
No. One thing, last thing I'll mention is that what is it that you're holding back with? In what way are you holding yourself back with fear? This is a very important question to ask, so at least we know what it is. How are you stuck? And then, how would it feel if you experienced profound freedom in your life? Didn't have that fear. What would be different? Just even imagining it is a huge upgrade. So we'd love to hear in the comments. Have a beautiful rest of your day. Lots of love and many blessings.